grace of God.
Bless your word tonight. Bless your people to hear. Holy Spirit, teach us, guide us. Give us that revelation knowledge, Lord. Give us insights, and then we can live a transformed life. And we thank you in advance, and we bless you for it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, family.
All right, Pastor.
Who is that? That's not Sister Kathy.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
In the flesh.
God bless you, Sister Kathy. Remember, use your chat function to share if you like. And then let's jump into the word. We were in chapter 12 last week. I think we got through three quarters of chapter 12. It was suggested to read the entire chapter. I don't know if I'm going to read the entire chapter, but I do want you to look at verses, chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. And how about we highlight a couple of chapters there, discuss it, and that's how we'll review. And then when we get to, I will read, though, verses 13 through 24 and then 26 through 30. So any discussion, any final thoughts?
Pastor Carter, hi, good evening.
Yes.
South Bay. It's Joanne from Atlanta.
Hey, you know, Joanne.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, can you, I've got a disconnect here. Joab, can you give me some kind of background or just refresh my memory about Joab? I went back to chapter 10 and I guess I just have trouble crossing from 10 to 12. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So, you can see him, but he can't see you.
Oh, that sounds like a woman talking.
There's a woman.
There's some.
Joe from Atlanta.
Okay, so Joanne, and I'll chime in, and I'll go in and share. And then if anybody else, no, Brother John might have a little insight as well. But Joab was one of David's mighty men. He was one of his right-hand men, one of his frontline men, one of his soldiers. And so David had quite a few men that were loyal to him ever since he was anointed king and was being chased by Saul. Joab was one of those guys. And so here we are now, and Joab is still just David's right-hand man. Yeah, David had a lot of mighty men, but Joab was one of his special leaders.
Joab was basically number two after David militarily. On the military side, he was the equivalent of Abner for Saul.
Mm-hmm. All right, Joanne, anything
okay.
else?
Okay, thank you.
Right. So, okay. So let's, if we put it in our turn, David being president, Joab is vice president.
Right.
Okay. And so.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody, any thoughts? And I'm going to ask, if you're not speaking, to mute yourself. And then when you want to speak, just go on and unmute yourself. If you could do that for me.
Joab was also over the army. So he basically ruled David's world through David's direction because he was over the army.
Yeah, I guess you would say he's a strategic commander. Absolutely. Thank you, Sister Hazel. And so when we...
And so when we were in 11 and 25 and David told him, you know, don't let this thing that I've done disturb you. That's a pretty tough one because I'm sure there was a lot of respect lost, even if it wasn't shown and demonstrated inside, just, you know, on the exterior inside, Joe, I've had to say, wow, I've never seen, you know, David do something like this, you know, so. Anything else, 1 through 12? All right. Well, I'm going to pick it up at 13. I'll read 13 through 23. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away your sin. You shall not die. Howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the child. Also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Verse 15, and Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and laid all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. It came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke unto him, and he would not listen to our voice. How will he then react if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived or discerned that the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, yes, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? You did fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, you did arise and eat. David said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious unto me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Verse 24, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare him a son, called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Now stop right there, then we'll finish up with 26 through 31. That's a lot. That's a lot. Some review, some new. some review and some new. Somebody give me some thoughts, review thoughts.
Pastor, this is Joanne. You know, I think verse 22 and 23 were powerful statements because one, he knew that the child had left him and he had prayed for God to be merciful and not have his son to die. Mm-hmm. But once his son was dead, there was no other reason to pray for what he was praying and fasting for. And then he acknowledged that the child will never come back to him, but he will see him in another life.
Amen. Amen. Very powerful passages. I don't know. And we've all lost someone, maybe not a child, but a parent, a sibling, a friend, a cousin. How long do we mourn? How long do you, I say this because I know some people who have lost someone and I would consider them believers in Christ. And it takes years. I have known someone, they still haven't gotten over it. And so, how long should it take? What's the grieving period in Christ? I'm not talking about the world where they're just, the word says we don't grieve as the world grieves because we know they're in a better place. How long should we grieve for someone once they transitioned? And when do you get yourself back together to keep moving for God?
That's interesting that this point should come up because my mother passed in 2006 and I literally stopped going to church about, I think maybe 6 months after she passed, because I went to church and the choir sung a song that was sung at my mother's service and it was hard for me to go back. So I stayed away from church for 2 years. I didn't do holidays. I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And I was numb. And then I went to church one Sunday. My daughter said to me, "Mom, you got to go to the altar and give this up." So it took me a long time. And not that my mother and I were at odds or anything. We had a very good relationship. But she was in Baltimore and I was in Atlanta. So I didn't see the deterioration and the death coming. So right. It was kind of hard.
Mm-hmm. So then,
well, I think it depends on the person.
Okay, and then Joanne, so what got you back was your daughter speaking, encouraging you, and challenging yes. you to run back to God and move forward.
Yes.
Okay, amen.
And my daughter had just gone back to the church herself.
Okay, but it took you 2 years.
Yeah, maybe three, Pastor Carter.
Okay, amen.
It was a minute. It was a minute.
Okay, got it. All right. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Joanne. Yes.
When I read that section, I used to think about when I read about David, I would focus on his sin and say this was such a great sin. You know, I'd focus on what he did wrong, and I would overlook the love and the forgiveness of God. Yes. And one of the scriptures that I like when I read that is in Psalms 103. Mm-hmm. And it said that in verse 10, starting at verse 8, because this is what meant a lot to me, especially when I do wrong and I want God to forgive me. But in verse 8 of 103, it said that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. And I said he won't hold his anger forever. I'm not saying that God don't get angry, just overlook sin. But he won't hold on to it forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, yes. so great is his love for those who fear him. Mm-hmm. As far as the east is from the west,
yes.
so far has he removed our transgression from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. But he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Sometimes I forget I'm dust.
Right.
One of the things I looked at is that during that time, if you committed adultery, you were supposed to be stoned.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that didn't happen to David. And it's because of the mercy of God.
Yes.
And that's what I now look at it. I look at it a little different now.
Amen.
I look at this as an example of God's great mercy and how he loves us and how he loved David. And I think that was part of why he could get up after God had given him a decision. But he had been trained to do that anyway. through all of his years that he was running from Saul. He couldn't linger after God told him to do something. He had to act quickly. So once he got the answer, he moved forward. And that was really because of his great, great relationship, his closeness with God, his faith with God. So that's that's how I looked at that part.
That's
good
really
point.
Yeah, yeah. That's really powerful. And and we talked about it Sunday when we talked about having a different mindset or transformed mind, which transformed your mission, your message, and your maturity. And so and when you have that mature relationship like that and God says, hey, this is there's nothing you can do about this, then you got to get up and go ahead and move forward. But here's, and Sister Hazel, as you brought that up, I did write this for tonight. What it did show me as well is that you can make a huge mess of your life. And if you sincerely ask God to forgive you, he will.
Amen.
And put you right back. I mean, and like you said, the mercy of God is, and the redemption of God, that's to be highlighted in the midst of everything that happened. But it just, so for those of us that, you know, that don't have it all together, I know most of y'all do, so let me speak for myself. since I don't have it all together, right? And but you can make a huge mess. I mean, this is so it's never over with God. But we got to run back, and we got to mature, knowing, okay, I got to get my life together. I got to deal with the consequences, as it was stated last week. But God has removed that sin as far as the east is from the west. And you notice he didn't say the north from the south, because the north and the south pole come together.
Right.
There's no east and west pole. They're gone. They're polar opposites. So they're never to come together again. So that's a beautiful thing.
Pastor, I just want to say, but the other thing that, and then I'm finished, is that God remembered that we are dust.
Isn't that something?
I get so into myself, I think I'm all that. What they say, all that on a bag of chips.
You are. You're all that. You're all that dust and a bag of dust.
Lord, that poor girl out there, she just dust. Let me bring her all home. Let me give her some love.
That's the card.
That's beautiful, Sister Hazel. And even, I guess, that's what Christ was saying when he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They're just dust.
Lord.
They're just dust. The dust don't know what it's doing.
Remember who alone here and there. From.
Yeah, right. Go, was that Sister Kathy?
Yes. I just like to say that I'm so glad that God gives me an opportunity to repent when I sin. Amen. Sometimes it takes longer, but he is his mercy and his grace. He's right there waiting. He's waiting for me to repent. Mm-hmm. So God gave David the opportunity to repent also.
Yes. Amen.
Because it took him a while to repent.
But when it was brought to his attention.
Right.
Yeah, he was thinking he was all that in a bag of chips until he met, until Nathan told him. And then he realized he was just dust and repented. Mm-hmm. So we do need the Nathans in our life to remind us. Dude, you're just dust. We need a savior.
And one thing I've noticed also, guys, is that we shouldn't dwell on God's punishment, because once we get back in line with God, then everything else is still there waiting for us. Because to understand, he took a child, but he replaced a child.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What he said he's chasing those that he loved.
Yes.
That's right.
Basically, he's telling us that when we do something and he rebuke us, don't be rebellion when God is rebuking you. Still, because of the process,
Amen.
Why he's rebuking you. And David, you know, he did the right thing. He humbled himself. He fasted. And then after the child death, he believed in God. He's like, you know what? The same God that I was praying before, he's the same God that's going to be here. So whatever God promised to me will be mine no matter what.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
He did do a sin, but God still repaid him to show us that he's still God no matter what.
Amen. Amen. It's a great point, Brother Stanley. Great
what
point.
I liked about it was what I saw was that David, even though he got the opportunity to repent, he wasn't like Saul. Saul never repented.
Amen.
So he lost his crown, but David kept his crown and he repented, and that he had the heart to realize after he was told that he needed to get his act together, and he did.
Amen. And look, Sister Yvonne, that is a great point because, you know, God will send people in our life and we'll tell them, look, you don't know me. You don't, man, you're in my business. You know, you don't, I don't need that right now, as opposed to repenting.
And we say, you don't understand. You know. It's different. That's what we say.
Right. You don't understand. My situation's different.
There you go.
You don't understand. Mine is different. I don't know what you're talking about, but this is different. And as opposed to taking responsibility, being mature, and getting right with God. But we still have to plant that seed, whether folks want to hear it or not. If God puts it in our heart to share, and that's sharing. But look how it's shared through the love and through the mercy, even creating an illustration, not just pointing a finger in the face, but when he says, man, how could that happen? It's like, brother, that's just kind of situation you in right now. Oh, I never looked at my situation. No, we never do. I'm looking at your situation, but I never look at my situation like that. So, Sister Yvonne, and once that's done, then it's up to us to repent. And sometimes people put up the front like we all do, but then we go home and lay down. That's why we got to plant the seed. We lay down and God starts speaking. We wonder why we can't sleep. Yeah, because God is talking and you need to listen. And then finally we come unto repentance. And so we can get right back in position, as Brother Stanley said, so we can continue to walk in what God has for us. Although we got to deal with the consequences of our disobedience, God is still trying to take us somewhere. I wanted to share one thing with you all too, if you would indulge me, because David was praying for the child while the child was still alive. He said maybe God would be gracious. And so during the week, I just, you know how you just open the Bible and start studying. Not that I do that as a pastor, but I just happen to open it. Pastor, what you pray? I don't know. I'm gonna just open the Word and see what comes up. That's not the way I normally do it. But I open to, if you would indulge, we go to 2 Kings chapter 20. And it's a very familiar story. It's in 2 Kings and it's also in Isaiah 38. The story of Hezekiah. And we've talked about it before. But this is what David is saying. God responds to prayer. So David didn't know, man, I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast. Although it looks like this thing is over, I'm going to pray and fast because God can be gracious. God can be merciful. So family, we don't know how it's going to turn out. Even though he got the word that the child was going to die. Here's if you're there, 2 Kings 20, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, it says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus said the Lord, get your house in order, for you gonna die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, God, I'm begging you. O Lord, remember now how I walk before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah cried and cried. And it came to pass after Isaiah was gone out in the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you on the third day, and thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto your days 15 years,
All right.
I will deliver you this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Oh my gosh. So now you see why David's praying, because he understands, when you understand the character of God, even when it looks like it's over, family, and it could be over, but that should never, remember, your condition should never stop you from praying and fasting and believing God. And if God transitions us home when we're sick, that's just a promotion. But at the same time, we see right here, God told him, first sent the prophet, told him it's over for him. Mm-hmm. He prayed, he cried, he pleaded, he begged, and God said, you got 15 more years. So that's why David, when you were saying that David, it was useless for David to pray and fast, it was not. When you understand the nature of God, it's never useless. You never lose anything by praying and fasting. And then his brother Stanley said, I really like that point. After he prayed and fasted, when the child died, then he got himself back up, got right back in position with God, as opposed to having a pity party and running from God, and God can't find you after the child dies, or even after the child lives, whatever happened, he can't find you because you're having the pity party. So I just wanted to share that as I was studying this week and just meditated on that. And then I really, I just went ahead and started reading about the different evil kings, and then Josiah, the one righteous king. It was fascinating. I can't wait to get to the book of 2 Kings. And notice how I referenced David, how God is still honoring David through the lineage all the way to Christ, even till today. And you say David, you know, kind of messed up really bad, as we see right here. Yeah. But his position in Christ didn't change. His condition changed through the sin, but his position didn't. anything else with verses 15 through 25 before we move on?
And I also want to say that even though David sinned, God makes sure that we don't identify David with that sin. That was just one roadblock. Because most of us want to go around with life, oh, something that we did way back in the day, oh, this is who I am, oh, I'm so bad. God's like, no, you did mess up. You're going to pay for it. But that's not all you about. You know? We all going to mess up. But you shouldn't define yourself by your sin. Define yourself by how you please me and by how you recognize when you do wrong and you come back to me. You know, because if somebody just read this about David, they might think, oh, this is what David is all about. No, but you got to read about David. This is just something he did. You know, and it doesn't identify David neither. That's why he's all over the Bible. Amen. You know?
So we should not let one snapshot define our whole life.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, Brother Stanley. That's a great point. And I think we're a lot harder on ourselves than God is. I mean, because if we would ask God, what was the last sin we committed? He would say, I don't remember. But then we carry that thing around our neck like an albatross. And I can't do this. I can't go to church. I can't operate in ministry. If they knew what I did, Sister Hazel already made it clear, we're just dust. So what? Are you going to tell another dust what you did as if the dust hasn't had any dirt in their life? Get it? Dust and dirt. We all dust with dirt in our life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, and that just shows a different maturity level. When I look down on you, that shows how immature I am, because we're all just dust.
Amen.
And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous, no, not one. So I mean, again, that's why Jesus tells us the mature Christian is going to pray for their enemy and going to bless those that despitely use and persecute you, because they know it's just dust and I'm just dust. But by the grace of God, there go I. So it's just, when you're mature, you do a lot of praying. You do a lot of praying. Because you, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you're immature, you do a lot of talking. You know, you do a lot of just finger pointing. You point the finger as opposed to extending the hand of grace. You know, but we can't forget that we're just dust and think we're all that in a bag of chips. So Excellent point. And so stop beating yourself up. Run to God. Realize God is a lot bigger than whatever we've gone through. The sin is cast into the sea of forgetfulness, is removed as far as the east is from the west, and start asking God, God, what is my purpose in you? I know my purpose is to make disciples and build the kingdom, but show me how to do that, God. How do you want me to do it? As a Christian, you should never have to ask your purpose. Your purpose is to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and make disciples. Your method, yes, God, how do I do that? And start running to God and asking him those questions and watch God work in your life. And we shouldn't be practicing any sin. We're struggling with issues, but I shouldn't be in any type of sin saying, this is just the way I am. And God knows me and God understands me. No, God loves you enough to take you as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like that. So we got to run to God, but we're not practicing any sin. That's for sure. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So stop feeling sorry for yourself. Blow out the cake. Blow out the candles on the cake. And we got work to do, especially now in the midst of this pause. And look, people are talking about, listen how crafty the enemy is. The biggest issue now is, when can I get back to the beach? Mm-hmm. When can I open my business back up? The biggest issue should be, am I right with God? I need to get, because I'm telling you, a lot of folks, they're not going to get another warning. Okay, God slowed it down and said, you better get it together. So in the midst of this, family, we got to get the word out. We got to share Christ with anybody who will listen. Because if they don't take heed now, then it's, you know, the next time they might not get another opportunity. And here's the narrative now. I need the beach open. I need to go get a haircut. I need to go to the beauty salon. I need to go to my favorite restaurant. Look, the enemy is so crafty, and that becomes the big issue of the day. God help us. anything else before we go to 26 through 31? nobody commented on 24 and 25 with David. He comforted his wife and gave her another baby. Okay, that's okay. Hey. I guess it's how you comfort your wife. How are you doing, O'Ray? Okay, let's talk. All right, here's another baby. But then we know that his name was Solomon, and you all know that his name is Peace. Solomon means peace. Yeah. So after all that, wow. As Brother Stanley said, God took a son away and gave the son of peace. Okay. Took the sin away and gave him peace. Isn't that what Christ did for us?
Yes. Amen. And also, he didn't give him just any son. He gave him Solomon.
Amen.
With the most wisdom in the whole world I've ever seen. So we should take this and heed, like, no matter what God take from you, he has something much better for you. So don't dwell on what he took away. Be ready for what he has for you.
Amen. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Where's my pen? We're recording this. I'm so glad we're recording this. Amen, Brother Stanley. Will you say that again, Brother Stanley?
No, I was just saying that, like, don't dwell on what God taken away from you, because he has something much better for you.
Amen. And then thank you, Brother Stanley. And as we even look at what's going on in COVID, you know, we might lose some things because it's shut down. And we're really missing the hand of God and the heart of God if we're dwelling on what I lost as opposed to what God has for me. What an excellent point. And then it says, even he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. And Jedidiah means beloved of the Lord. So he took away the sin, he gave him peace, and then he reminded him, you're beloved of the Lord. Am I the only one excited about that? That in the midst of whatever we're going through, God takes away the sin. Now, when we run to him and not from him, God takes away the sin. He gives us peace and reminds us that we are, regardless of what consequences you got to deal with, you're still beloved of the Lord. Mm. Any other thoughts, comments before we move forward in 26 through 31? All right, here we go. And Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now, therefore, gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. And David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones, and it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil or the plunder or the goods of the city in great abundance. Verse 31, and he brought forth the people that were therein. He put them under saws and under harrows of iron and under axes of iron and made them pass through the Bricklin. And thus did he unto all the cities of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned unto Jerusalem. All right.
I have one point on this one. I got basically, God already had that crown for David, but David was out of position. Once David got back in position, the crown was already there waiting on him. You see?
Wow.
Before he was at home looking at Bathsheba, and everything was breaking loose. But once he fasted, he got himself back with the Lord, and the crown was already there waiting on him. So that shows us that, you know, all we got to do is get back to God, and our crown will be there waiting on us. We just got to get in position, you know?
Amen. Amen. That's great. Look at everything that's happened in the last two chapters. And so, I mean, we look at people and say, well, maybe they don't deserve that, as if we as dust deserve anything. But this is... We really know that we don't deserve anything. We deserve hell, but Christ died for us. Somebody say amen.
Yeah, amen.
But sometimes you see people, and oftentimes it's not the only way to show that we're blessed by God. But people equate that with stuff, which we know is not true. But you see somebody's life being blessed, and you, instead of hating on them and you know, being envious of them, you don't know what they had to go through. They see David right here putting his crown on his head, but they don't know. David just been through some stuff. And if he didn't return and repent to God, he wouldn't be in that position that he's in right now. You hear what I'm saying? So what God has for you, he has for you, but we got to repent. We got to run to God. We got to humble ourselves. We got to beg for forgiveness. We got to line up right with the word and the obedience of God. And look at it. It goes to show too, which we found in 1 Samuel 15, obedience is better than sacrifice. David was doing all that sacrifice and the child still died. But when he got back in obedience with God, then God was able to move him forward. Not that the sacrifice was pointless, because we already talked about how God could have been gracious. But let's stay obedient and sacrifice. And let's not try and put the sacrifice in place of the obedience. Let's be obedient and sacrifice in our obedience.
Pastor.
Yes, Brother Anthony.
Also, David was still humble, because David could have silenced Nathan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, didn't want to hear what he had to say. He could have just shut him down, but he didn't. And that just showed more of David's character, where he was, where God could use him, where God knew that, you know, David was a man after his heart, because he was in a place of, I guess you would say obedience, where he was willing to understand his sin, but what had happened,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we need to do sometimes. you know, regardless of the sin, you know, we feel embarrassed or we feel, you know, how could I do that? But that's why we have to have that time alone with the Lord so that the Lord can speak to us, you know, and that we can, you know, show the humbleness that David showed, you know.
Amen. Amen. That's a great point. And that's, and God speaks to us through the word. The Holy Spirit convicts us as we're reading certain passages. That's why some people don't want to, it's not what they don't know about the Bible. It's what they do know about the Bible, why they don't read it, because they know once they read it, they're going to be convicted. And I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing. So I'm not going to read that, because once you read it, God's going to speak to your heart.
You're accountable. And
I've been challenging us at South Bay for the last 4 or 5 years to read the Proverbs every morning. And every morning, God convicts me or speaks to me and through those Proverbs, and seeing that it challenges me to be the man of wisdom that God's called me to be. It's a tough read some mornings where he's talking about a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, which means I just can't say anything because it's a word that's spoken at the right time. You know, and it just talks about so much wisdom. And once I read it, I'm convicted. I got to tighten my game up, but I challenge myself every day, whether it's the Proverbs or whether it's Second Kings or wherever it's at. Brother Earl, we read, like today was the 20th. So we, read Proverbs chapter 20, tomorrow's the 21st. We read 21. So whatever day of the week, that's the one we read. And then when the new month starts over, we start right back at one. And we've been doing it for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's just so powerful. I even peeked ahead to the Proverbs 21:1. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the channels of water, he turns it whatever way he wants to. So it tells me I don't have to be upset with my boss, why I didn't get the promotion, why I didn't. It says the king's heart, your boss's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and the Lord turns it whichever way he wants it to. God said, you're not ready for it. That's why you didn't get it. And maturity lets me read that, and it looks back at me saying, well, God, I'm not ready for it. Help me to be mature enough to be ready for what you have for me next, as opposed to bad mouthing the whole company because I didn't get the promotion. Yeah. Or I didn't get the contract. It's in the hand of the Lord. In Proverbs 20, it said, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth is going to be filled with gravel. It might seem like you're getting away with something, but after a while, it just turns into gravel in you. I mean, it's just, so as you read that, it convicts you. And Brother Anthony, you're absolutely right. David repented, connected his heart to God, and got back in a place of maturity. And that's what we have to do.
Amen.
Sister Pastor Hazel, yes.
When I look at that, I think about it in the sense that there are consequences to our actions, our attitude, serious consequences.
Yes.
And looking back at verse 12, I mean, 9 in that, is it 9? At verse 10, mm-hmm. that God was very clear about the consequences that David would have to go through. In verse 10, it said, now therefore the sword would never depart from your house. Because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. That was one. And then he said in verse 11, out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you. And he will sleep with your wife in broad daylight. And I don't know all of what that means, but I have to study it to find out the implications.
Right. And you have to read verse 12 too. You have to read verse. Thank you, Sister Ace. You got to read verse 12.
You did it in secret, but I would do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. And so I was thinking about how David knew God was very specific on the consequences of his decision, but still knowing that, he still got up and worshiped God.
Wow. Come on now.
And see, wow. That's what I was looking at it. Instead of sometime if I hurt God, I go into a depression. I can withdraw, whatever, however I cope with it. But David was able to, he left us an example about getting up, moving forward with God. You know what's going to happen. This is your decision, but I'm still going to trust him. I'm still going to be, I may not fast or whatever, but I'm going to be constantly asking for his direction and mercy. Because that shapes the rest of the story about God's word is true. He followed through on exactly what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
But that's Hazel, how I was looking at that.
Yeah.
Hazel, that the one verse you talked about talks about when Absalom tried to have a coup and kick David out of the kingdom.
Yes.
And he went into David's concubines in front of the whole kingdom, basically.
Yeah. Which and it's just his whole bizarre. Life. His family was, since he destroyed a family.
Yeah.
He destroyed a family. His family would suffer. So I also look at it as my actions, what I do have great impact on my family members.
Yeah. And as Brother John alluded to, just the things that happened. And when we get into chapter 13 next week, you know, I mean, it's like, if we were watching that on a movie, that'd be like, man, that's some crazy. I mean, what is going on here? But this is the word of God, and God's true to his word. And in the midst of that, but here's the other thing that I've done too. And, cause I have one of our challenge, meditation scriptures is 1 Chronicles, 29, chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. Right. And that's where it talks about how, especially in verse 11, God is the greatness, and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. David blesses God on his deathbed, right? And so after it's all said and done, then when you get to the end of chapter 29, David's dying. He said he died. He was of good old age, full of riches, full of honor. And I'm going, but how? but how? You know? And you look at the difference between Saul and David, the way they died. Yeah. And in the midst of everything that David did, the way he old age, riches, honor, and he just transitioned, a smooth transition with God because of repentance. And he kept his heart connected to God's heart, not based on what he did, it's what God has already done. And for us, it's even better because Christ, you know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So I just read that. It just blows my mind when it says how David transitioned. And for those of us, you can read it in 1 Chronicles 29. Just go right to the end of the chapter and you see how David passed away.
Amen.
But if you look at, because we just finished in 1 Samuel reading how Saul, how it ended for Saul, who was the same king. But the difference was, as someone said, he ran from God. He never connected his heart with God. He lived a life separate from God. And when you look at how he died, horrible death. So it, and God makes all the difference.
Amen.
Let's see. It is 7:23. I wanted to ask your thoughts on Brother Sandley. You look at the crown being put on his head and all type of an abundance when he got back in position. But I want to ask your thoughts, family, on verse 31. It says, and he brought forth the people that were there and put them under saws and under harrows of iron and under axes of iron and made them pass through the bricklin or the something like a crematorium. And thus did he unto all the city of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned unto Jerusalem. So it was two schools of thoughts with that, with the scholars. But before I share that, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Those of you maybe with a different translation are those of you who looked at the commentary. Verse 31.
I felt like he felt threatened by, he put them, he made them work for him and stuff. That's how I'm looking at it.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
It looks like he cross-trained them to do brickwork instead of the ironwork that they were doing.
Okay. Okay.
The crown was symbolic. They held the crown over their head because it says it was over a talent of gold and just as much jewels.
And precious stones, yeah.
So that's like 130 pounds. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they want that on his head, but they carried it above the king's head.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that he comes a long way from crying and weeping for his child and committing that sin to now having that incredible crown of gold and precious stones held over his head.
Too bad it was a pagan crown.
Hey, but they took all, but they got the, they got permission to take all that. They took all, not only the crown, but they took a bunch of stuff in abundance. Remember, sometimes God has said, don't touch it. But in this case, he gave him the okay to take it. So, and what I was alluding to as well, that some commentaries try and say, or some scholars believe that when he said he put them under the axe and under Saul's, that David killed them and then burned them and different things like that. But most scholars believe, as you all said, that David took them as servants, put them to work, and made them work for him, because it would have been contrary to the word of God just to go and kill them in cold blood like that. And they're not military, they're not soldiers. So, yeah, and that's pretty much the consensus, that David took them as his servants and they served and worked for him.
Yeah, why would he just kill all the carpenters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, but if you read some of the commentaries, they kind of justify their position of why David killed them and different things like that. But like I said, the consensus was that he put them to work as his servants. So. Very powerful. Oh my gosh, the word of God is just refreshing. Amazing. And thank God we get a chance to come together like this once a week in Bible study and once on Sunday. So I'm going to ask for your takeaways. We have, let's see, oh, we got about 3 minutes left before we start praying. Takeaways, and it was so many. And so, family, I want to let you know that we are recording Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. On Wednesday night, we're recording just the audio. Your faces will not show up on the website, just your voices. So if you want to, and my goal is to have everything up within the next 2 weeks. So it's just a week out. So we have 3 Bible studies up. We have 3 Sunday services up on the website. You go to sermons. You can click the icon that says sermon. You can hear the audio sermon. You can see a video sermon. And you can see, and you can hear the audio of the Bible study. And it's just, so if you, you know, you miss some of the takeaways in a week, you should be able to go to the website, find today's date, 5/2020. And listen to it again, and you can fast forward and do whatever you need to do. And so you can, and then share it with someone who could benefit from a in-depth study like this. And then I also would like to say thank you for your giving. You all have been very generous. And those of you returning your tithes, giving an offering, and those making a donation, I just want to say thank you. And we really appreciate it. It just allows us to continue to do ministry. We want to do ministry the best way we can and be great stewards, not just good stewards, but great stewards over all the resources that God has given us to spread the gospel. So just want to thank you for that. And if you have a prayer request, remember, just email us at life@southbayalc.com. And just thank you so much for joining us on the study. All right, a takeaway, somebody. I'm going to start. I'm not going to call names, but one. Miss Brandy, give me a takeaway, and then, yes.
Can you guys hear me?
Absolutely, loud and clear.
I was going to say my takeaway after listening to everything would be when you fall, get back into position. That's mainly my main takeaway, is to make sure that you get back into position with the Lord. So number one, get in position with the Lord, and then get back into position of where he told you to be.
Amen. 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 I guess we can start playing on words. When you get caught up in a dust storm, right, Sister Hazel? You know, because dust, you know, we're just dust. So when you get caught up in a dust storm, just make sure you run back to God. Amen. Try not to get caught in the dust storm, but when you do, right, since we're just dust, run back to God. Excellent, Sister Brandy. Anyone else?
My takeaway, Pastor, is the benefits of true repentance.
Amen, Brother Tommy. Talk to me, brother. I love that.
After all was said, and you know, I mean, just taking it all in, the benefit of true repentance.
Thank you, brother.
What did Tommy say?
The benefit of true repentance. There's a blessing in the true repentance, and that's just between you and God. So right. you can pretend, I'm good, but true repentance, it's a beautiful thing.
Like so. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to type that into the chat, that is a beautiful thing. But we do have it recorded. But the benefit of true repentance. And as Brandy said, once you come to that point of true repentance, then get back up and run to God, because he has his purpose waiting for you. Wow. That's how we get back into line with our purpose and our calling, is true repentance. Anyone else? Any other takeaways?
So we're going to be talking about David for a long time, huh?
Yeah, Brother Earl. And look, and next week, man, it gets deep. It gets deeper.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a takeaway.
Brother Anthony, yes, sir.
The Lord loves us so much that he will correct us and then love us at the same time.
Amen. That is good. Hey, that's just like a true parent, right?
Amen.
What God is saying is going to hurt me a lot more than it's going to hurt you. Yeah, right. But hey, that's what your parents use. That's what our parents used to tell us, right? Because I love you so much, it's going to hurt me, but I got to do this because it's going to show my love for you.
That's right.
Amen. That's the God we serve.
Yeah, he's not going to let us just walk off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Amen. He's there for us.
But that's why, and I think the scripture, I think it is in Proverbs, where it says the Lord chastens those that he loves.
Yeah.
So, that's a good point, Brother Anthony.
Thank you.
Amen. That's in Proverbs 3, Sister Brandy. That is in Proverbs 3. I can tell you've been reading your Proverbs, Sister Brandy. Way to go. Hey, it says, you know, don't be weary of his correction, because those he chastens, he loves. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighted. Hebrews 12 and 6?
Yes.
Okay. So we got Old Testament and New Testament confirmation. Yeah. Any other takeaways before we mute and pray? Awesome, awesome, awesome. God is so good. I really appreciate this this time with you all. It's a blessed time. And then my prayer is just that we, you know, it just leads to transformation, you know. I got to run to God now. After just hearing what you all said, the benefits of true repentance, if it's any type of secret sin or anything I'm just, you know, haven't given over to God and been sorry for, it is, I can't let anything hold me back from what God has for me. I mean, that when you apply that word to your life, that man, what's more important than getting right, lined up again with God and being right where God wants you to be? And for a time like this, I couldn't think of anything that's worth sacrificing the position of God for. So I guess that's my two cents and my takeaway. Amen.
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 Sister Kathy, did you give me a takeaway?
No.
Would you like to?
No, not at this time.
All right, Sister Kathy.
Yeah, everybody else is down.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to mute you all, then I'm going to pray, then I'm going to unmute, and then we'll dismiss from there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord, just for such a powerful word tonight, Lord. So your word tonight causes us to pause within the pause, Lord, and say, God, forgive us for our sins, Lord. And God, we run to you, Lord. Your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So thank you, Lord. Your word says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous, no, not one. Your word says we are but dust. And we're reminded of that tonight, God. So we ask for your forgiveness. And we ask that you would help us in turn to forgive others, to be in that mature place, understanding that we're dealing with dust. We're dust and we're dealing with other pieces of dust. And as Christ said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And as Christ did on the night which he instituted communion, the night which he was betrayed, he gave thanks because it was dust that was betraying him and God knew what he created. So God, we pray that we operate with that same heart of forgiveness. We're just dealing with other forms of dust, which we are. So, and but by the grace of God, there go I, there go we. So we ask for your repentance and we thank you that you removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. You've cast them in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them anymore. God, let us operate in kindness. Let us operate in the position that you have for us. God, let us operate in obedience. God, let us be obedient and sacrifice, Lord, and not try to sacrifice in place of obedience. So we love you and we thank you for your word tonight. And we embrace the benefits of true repentance. God, may our heart get connected with yours and never leave that position. Pray for our families tonight and pray for our sister and brother that are traveling tonight, traveling graces for Cynthia and Cliff, Lord, as they're traveling and they weren't with us tonight, but asked for prayer. So we pray for their traveling graces in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for all that are on the call, all the families that are represented. Pray that you meet all the needs, Lord, and you teach us in the midst of it, God, that regardless of what you take away, you got something better for us. So we run to you and we thank you and we bless you in the midst of our struggles, God. We bless you. And we love you tonight and we say thank you. Give us a blessed rest of the night. Give us sweet sleep. And if it's your will, may we wake up tomorrow refreshed and renewed and running to you. Then on Sunday, as we meet to praise and worship and decree and declare that Jesus is Lord, we just ask that you be with us. So we thank you again, Lord, for tonight. What an awesome night. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Where two or more gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. Thanks for being in the midst of us. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for just your awesome men and women of God that shared such incredible insights and revelation, Lord. Pray a blessing on all the lives on this call as we walk in obedience, Lord, that we would experience the abundant life that you have for us. And we bless you once again, and we bless each other now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right, beautiful people.
All right, Pastor.
Yes. So,
all right, Pastor.
Thank you. Hey, I love y'all.
Love you too.
Love you back.
Stay strong in the Lord. Stay in the place of obedience. And and enjoy the benefits of a repentant heart and a repentant life in Christ.
Amen.
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 All right.
Thank you, Pastor.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor. I look forward to seeing y'all on Sunday morning, Lord's will. Amen.
Amen.
All right.